Welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 27th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle C.
Scattered on my bed, trying to decide which place I'd go to college. I'd narrowed it down, and then this one evening, I decided it's time. I'm going to make up my mind, and I did. So I remember leaving my bedroom and going out and standing between my parents and the TV. And essentially saying, we interrupt this program for an important announcement. The president's going to speak or something. And I just told them, I think I just decided where I'm going to go to school. Trinity University, San Antonio, Texas. It's about 5 hours away from where we lived. And they just looked up and said, that's great. Would you move out of the way? That's not what they said. They just said, that's great. They didn't really know that much about it, but then they were ready to be informed about what would happen next. They entrusted that decision to me, and they were happy when I made it. A few months later, it was time to actually go there, and I never did even visit. I just comparison shopped by mail, picked the place. They accepted me. I accepted them, and I showed up with my stuff. And I just went through a process like many of you have just been through. I was oriented. There was an orientation to the place, and there were schedules, things that you could do in small groups, and things that everybody did together. And one of the things that everybody that was new to the place did together was enter this one big auditorium. And then a parade of different notables came to the microphone. The president, can't remember his name, came and said something. Don't remember what he said. And I know that he was succeeded by the vice provost in charge of something. Don't remember what that person said either, other than welcome. But then this one dean took the mic, and she no sooner did than her spirit filled the whole place. Her name's Colleen Grissom. She's still there. She's in every alumni thing that they put out because the people in the alumni office are really smart. She got up there all those many years ago and welcomed our class. She welcomed us into this place that she loved dearly, whose mission her heart was completely engaged in. And she was its embodiment. In her frame, she incarnated the mission of that school. And she loved not everything about it, and she even pointed out, you're not going to love everything about this place. But if it gives you trouble, you come see me. She explained that it was an institution, and it was a bureaucracy, and that sometimes it didn't always do the best it could for the people that it was there to serve. When you find that happens, you come see me. She made us understand that there was somebody, a higher up, a very gregarious, engaged, intelligent, compassionate person who was also ready to be there for you and ready to listen to you. She communicated, I don't think she said, I love you, but that's all that she was saying. It just ran through all of her comments. I love what I do, and I love doing that with you. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Well, this lady didn't know me, but she invited me to drop by, and so I did. I went to her office and dropped by and introduced myself, and that was the first of many such times that I got involved with what she was doing. I saw that around her there was a group of very bright people, both other people that worked for the university and other students who volunteered, and they did all kind of things that were at the service of the common good there. And I thought, this is the group of people I want to be like. I want to be around these people because I want to learn what makes them so great, what gives them that energy. And so I got involved in doing things that they were doing. In fact, it was her office that was in charge of the orientation. And all the programs that were created that people had thought up to help a new person understand this place and all of its acronyms, for one thing. All the nicknames for stuff. When people start saying, oh, we're going to meet at the annex. We're going to have an RCIA meeting. Somebody that was there to teach you the code and welcome you into a new group. Well, this is the Mass of the Holy Spirit. It starts the school year. But the lesson today really isn't 101. It's not an entry-level course. I think the gospel today is upper division. They're prerequisites to understanding what Jesus is doing today when he says, when these students, in fact, they're called apostles. An apostle is kind of a rank above a disciple because a disciple is a student, but the apostle is the student who's gone on to, like, be an intern or an apprentice, a TA. The apostles have been chosen to do a specific job, and they're to be sent out to do it. That's what that word means. So it's the apostles who ask Jesus, teacher, give us more faith. Teacher, give us more faith. Say that to Jesus. Doesn't that sound like something a teacher's pet would say? Oh, teacher, give me more faith. Help me be smart like you. They ask Jesus, would you give us more faith? And instead of patting them on the head or applauding them, he comes back at them and says, if you understood the faith you have, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And it would do it. And then he goes on to tell this bizarre story about a slave holder and a slave. And he throws it right back at them and says, now which one of you? Now, I don't know how many of Jesus' followers had slaves. Most of the people in Luke were really poor. And this is from Luke's gospel. But say that you were a fisherman that owned a boat. Maybe you at least employed somebody part-time to work on it, and they were in your employ. They worked for you. He says, who of you wouldn't talk to your slave, to your part-time worker, and say, do this? Would you really, when they come in from the field, having tended the sheep, plowed all day, which of you is really going to say to your hired hand, to your slave, what can I get you for a snack? Can I fix you dinner? Here, you sit down while I get you. He said, no, that's not what you do. If they work for you, you're going to say, here's the next thing that needs doing. And if the next thing is preparing my food, well, then I'm ready to eat now. I'll see that you get fed very soon. He just says, this is the way it works. And then he goes on to say, those servants, if they really understand their place, their role, after they finish doing their duty, what would they say? I've done my duty. I'm a worthless servant is the way that the text reads. I'm a worthless servant, but I've done my duty. See, that's not the way you would talk if you were trying to gather more disciples. If it was day one of the mission, he gives you this odd teaching and says, if you're going to be around me, I want you to think this way. After you've done your duty, what I want you to think is, well, that's what I do. I'm a worthless servant. In the gospel, in the first reading today, Habakkuk, the prophet, He's crying out and saying, violence, all I see is violence around me, and I ask you to do something about it, and you don't lift a finger. It presumes that God's outside of the world of suffering with the power to stop suffering and not doing anything about it. But then the voice of God comes and says, hold on, I'm about to show you the vision. And when I do, you write it down. Because I'm going to show you a different way of thinking that's more like me than you. And Paul in the second reading today is talking to Timothy, who's his protege. He helped Timothy come into the faith. And he says, Timothy, remember the gift of the Holy Spirit I gave you that was given to you through me when I imposed hands on you. Take that flame that's in you and whip it. Work that flame into a blaze. So where do we go with this? Especially Jesus saying, what I want you to think of is as yourself as a servant. A worthless servant, he even says. I think what he's doing is, it only really makes sense to people who understand how loved they are. And if you get it already, that Jesus is the God of the universe, the all-powerful one, who gives all that up and becomes one of us, and then just says, would you like to come with me? Would you follow me? I think some people just saw that what he was doing was so beautiful and so lovely and so inclusive and so passionate. Sometimes his words just stopped them in their tracks. Even if the words left them confused, they were compelling. There was some energy about him that made them want to be around him. And it made people want to do things that they might have thought were beyond their strength, beyond their power. He brought them onto a team. And they weren't even that alike. Before they knew it, they were doing things for one another across boundaries that they'd never transgressed before. Language boundaries and gender boundaries and tribal boundaries, old hatreds, religious squabbles and differences. People like prostitutes on the one side and tax collectors, religious leaders on the other. They all found a place around him somehow. And he put them to work. When he did put them to work, he wanted them to know, if you want to go to the next rung, know how much I love you and how much this work means to me and to my Father. And try to create the lowest appetite for gratitude that you can. Do it not for thanks, not for praise, but because you love me. Aren't there a great many things that you've done in your life, not because you thought people would praise you or you would earn anything out of it, but because you loved somebody and your love for them made you do heroic things? Isn't that part of your life? Have you done things for love that you would never have done for any other reason? Have you done things for love and then not even cared whether you were thanked? Or if you were thanked, said, oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. You might not have said, I'm just a worthless servant. But sometimes when somebody, when you do something out of love and the praise comes back to you, you don't need it. I'm just doing what I do. I'm just a servant. You're welcome, if that helps. But I'm just doing what I do because I love you. Then it becomes like the beginning of the school year, this orientation business. To orient is one of my favorite words. To be oriented or disoriented. Start with disoriented. To be disoriented means you don't know which way is east. Orient and east are the same word. So to be a person who's disoriented means you don't know where the east is. That's important because something important happens every day in the east. And what would that be, class? the sun comes up there. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. Even if you've never been to Stanford, at Stanford, the sun comes up in the east. And it starts as a little bit of light. But before long, it spreads all over the sky. And it warms everything. And it gives life to every living thing and so on. If you can only find where the east is and be oriented, then you can get in the flow of this energy. That ball of fire that starts just on the eastern horizon, Paul says, whip that into a flame. Be a part of the huge project that God is doing today in the world. Be a part of all this. Well, I'm hoping that if you feel at all disoriented, that maybe some of us at the picnic that we're going to have, maybe you'll meet somebody after Mass that can help orient you to this place. I'll help. Will any of you help? There's plenty of God's work to be done right here and right now in this place. And it can be exciting to be a part of the team. Even doing all the nitty-gritty little things that need to be done to make anything happen gracefully and well. And when you're a part of a graced team, at the end of it, you really don't even feel like taking a bow, because you know that you did it along with everybody else, and we can all bow with one another if we like, but we really don't need that round of applause or that pat on the head or that attaboy. We just know that it's the love that is inside of us that's growing because of our use of our gifts that makes everyone better and builds a world where people's gifts are maximized and people's passions are aroused to do the most important thing that they can do. So I'm grateful all those years back to Dean Grissom standing in front of a group and orienting me to this place, but mostly sending an energy of love out in there that met me back in the 50th row and pulled me into an energy that I think was graced and godly and that helped me maximize my gifts. At the beginning of this school year, if I got to be a part of that in the lives of any of you who choose to live, study, work around Stanford, I wouldn't need any thanks. I think I could say with the guy in Jesus' story, I'm just a worthless servant. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, and I love doing it.
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please call at 650-725-0080. Please visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community, Learning, and Experiences, or mail us at Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301. Stanford, California, 94309. This is Father Isaiah M. Milano, OP, Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Until next time, God bless you.